Hi Helen, and welcome by Sondagdiens. Welcome to our Sunday service. We're still online, as you can see, and it's a massive privilege just to share this time with you and your loved ones. We are busy with a series on the Holy Spirit. The Lord gave us a prophetic word in February, as we've said to one another, that a shaking is coming, a pruning, so to speak, maybe a bit of an operation, and after that, new life, new birth. And that life can only be a God-like life, Zoe life, the life of the Spirit of God, who is also the Spirit of life. And so we've been mulling over, we've been standing still, we've been learning about the person of the Holy Spirit for the last couple of weeks, and today we'll move on a slight bit, but I'll get to that in a moment. I trust that you are doing well in lockdown down level 3. Thank you very much for connecting, for reaching out. Thanks for the amazing time we had on Wednesday evening, just connecting over Zoom, where the Lord really poured out His Spirit and where there was massive encounters. And my tank, and I believe many other tanks, were filled on Wednesday evening. I'm looking forward to one of those encounter nights, having one of those encounter nights pretty soon again. We said to one another that we don't only want to know about the Holy Spirit, want to know about God, but we want to know Him truly and deeply. And so today is another moment where we can really get to know the Lord. So God, we thank You that You will come and work in every heart today. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are present wherever we are listening to this message. Thank You. I've said it many times, but it's a cry of my heart that I know I can, in and of myself, give absolutely nothing to my brothers and sisters. But if there's any good fruit, if there's any of Your anointing, if there's any of Your wisdom, of Your life-giving Spirit, it will be by Your breath, it will be by Your heart, by Your Spirit, and through Your powerful word. And so I just surrender myself in this moment. I just wholeheartedly surrender. I declare my utter need for You. For Your strong right hand, for Your voice, for the revelation of Your word, for Your Spirit, for Your dynamis power, for the helper to come and help us and lead us and empower us. So Lord, I surrender and I give this time to You, and I ask, Lord, that You'll speak mighty into many lives through this message today, Lord. I also pray for every heart, Lord, for humility, Lord, starting with mine. Declaring that we need You, but not only need You, we want to get to know You better. Lord, I want to know You. I want to get to understand You as far and as much as I can. And I want to see You again. Lord, I want to see You, Lord. It doesn't matter where I'm at or where we are based or where we're sitting, where we're standing, where we're listening. But in the Spirit, we're connected to You, Lord. But we want to see You. We want to behold You. And we want to hear You again. Behold You and hear You. In Jesus' name. So just have Your way, Lord. Have Your way. And I just ask that You come and touch every listener, Lord. Every listener, just come and touch them deeply. Encounter with them. Encamp there with them, Lord. May they experience You, Lord. And then may we not only grow knowledge, but experiential connection, encounter with You today in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I was really blessed on Wednesday night of how the Lord just surprised us. On Wednesday morning already, the Lord said to me, He's going to come with His fire, when we had a small group get together of all the people that could make it. And the Lord said He'll come with His fire, and I never knew what that would mean. And just in preparation, Edna and I sat down, and she just heard the two words, abide and connect. And so that set up a beautiful time on Wednesday, and I believe it also set us up for what the Lord's going to share with us through His word today. So we've been chatting about the person of the Holy Spirit, as I've said, and we know that you have the Holy Spirit as you believe and have faith in Christ. We also know that the world cannot see and experience the Holy Spirit. And so, so often the Lord uses the foolish things of this world to despise the wise. And so I'm the first one to say, Lord, pick me. Broken vessel. A person that really needs You, Your heart and Your grace. But I also know that the Lord can do mighty things and massive things through one life. If it's laid down, if it's surrendered and wholeheartedly given unto Him. And so that is why I want to get to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And we also know that these moments are minute. But you got all of your life, the whole of the Word, a beautiful bride, pure and spotless to be, that we can learn from and that we can walk a road with, so that we can get to know this person of the Holy Spirit better and better and better. Now, a very simple example, as we move on to the next phase of our teachings, is a relationship with the Holy Spirit is paramount. And we said only a relationship with the Holy Spirit can bring forth Zoe life, real life, that we know we live. But a relationship needs to look like something. A relationship, a marital relationship between a mother and a father, eventually, by God's grace, would look like a family and children. In other words, there'll be fruit of their love and their communion and their unity and the covenant. And likewise, a relationship with the Holy Spirit needs to look like something. And so in this season where there's a shaking and when things are a bit unsure, I need to stand still and not only ask myself if I've got a cognitive understanding of this Holy Spirit person, but if my relationship actually looks like something. And obviously, when you have an apple tree, you know that the fruit it bears would be apples, and likewise with oranges, etc. And so a very simple picture is that there's certain fruit that we will have if we truly have an abiding relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so now we'll look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's all nine of them. We're going to look at them just now. In succession, we'll just break that open, see how long the Lord wants us to camp on this, so that it becomes part of who we are, and so that we can truly bear these fruit of the Holy Spirit. And after that, we'll deal with and share the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 refers to the gifts of the Spirit. And that's the exciting part that I really look forward to as well. But it's important that the character fruit that we need to bear of the Holy Spirit, that we need to have that under the belt and understand that and grow in that. And so we are going to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and specifically love, today at the hand of the scripture that we actually shared on Wednesday. And so any relationship needs to look like something, and I'm asking you, what does your relationship with the Holy Spirit look like? I need to ask myself, do I reflect a flesh-like fruit in my life, or do I actually carry the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And so we're going to jump right into Galatians 5, just so that we know what we're talking about. And these will be the nine ones that we're going to build on over the next couple of weeks. And so just as you sit there in this moment, just invite the Holy Spirit again to maybe just put his finger on one or two things that the Lord wants to touch on and what he wants to do in your life. And so let's quickly read Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. That's good news. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. And we all know this, but it's not always easy. And so I can ask myself, do I honestly, effectively love my neighbor? And we know it's not only the guy that lives next door. Do I effectively and honestly love my neighbor? And so I can start asking these questions, because the Word and the Spirit will help us today that we can be a people of fruit, that our relationship looks like something. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. That's kind of hectic. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, that we said the previous time, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And I've said this many times before. So often I've tried to do things right. So often I've been facing a mountain in my life, but I just can't get it right. I struggle to do the Lord's will. But I cannot fight the flesh with the flesh, expecting to reap the Spirit. I cannot, in my own power, my own fallible humanity, and through my flesh, try to stop bad behavior, sinful behavior, and flesh behavior. Now, I need to feed on the Holy Spirit, feed on the Word of God, feed my spirit man, so that it can automatically lead my life, and that the flesh can fall on the wayside. And so please be encouraged not to try to fix yourself too much. Be honest, be transparent, get into the Word, get into the Spirit, trust God, but don't fight the flesh with the flesh, expecting to reap the Spirit. Let's read on. They are in conflict with each other, and so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We're going to skip the couple of verses and we're going to jump right into verse 22. And listen up, because this is where we're going to camp for the next couple of sermons. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And we know it's a tug of war. It's a battle daily. But we need to feed the Spirit so that the flesh can be put in its place. Verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And so there's a chunky part of scripture once again, but the main emphasis here is we've got relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. We're getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit. We want to be helped. We want to have real Zoe life, but our relationship needs to look like something. And so a relationship with the Holy Spirit needs to look like something. And these are the fruits that we are going to deal with and walk through and trust that it gets pruned and cultivated and established in our life. It's love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm going to trust that the Lord does that. And how beautiful is our theme this year, Inside Out. Again with fruit, is not something you put on or stick onto a tree. It's something that really comes from the inside out. As that seedling hits the ground, in years and seasons to come, later on, it has these beautiful oranges, these beautiful apples, and it's an inside out work. And likewise with the Spirit, as the Lord is doing the sanctification in our lives, we will be starting to see that fruit in our lives. And so, how do I walk by the Spirit that I can truly have the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And specifically in our discussion today and in this message, I just quickly want to stop and look at love. I believe we in perilous times, and especially in a time of a pandemic and where it's a pretty dark time, love seems to be falling on the wayside, and it seems pretty cold out there in this world. And so not only the bride, but us as Christians and disciples and followers of Christ have been called to love. And I find it sometimes difficult to love. I found myself in situations where I struggle to truly love. I find myself in my home where some days I struggle to love. You might be able to love yourself. You might be able to love your comfort and the things of the flesh. But a real godly, biblically defined love is sometimes tough to do. And I'm just being honest. But I want to grow in that. I want to be a person of character, and I want to be a person of stability that love, and sometimes love at the cost of myself, a Christ-like love. And so please walk with me as we trust that the Holy Spirit and the fruit of love will be seen in and amongst us. And so firstly, we know the Word says God is love. And secondly, 1 Corinthians 13, that you know off by heart, defines love for us. Being love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. That's a pretty big one. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Loves truth. Love loves truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And that's some pretty big words. That bar is pretty high. I don't know about you. You might have heard those verses over and over again over your life. But to have this love and walk it out on a Monday morning, and to do it on a Thursday evening and on a Saturday night and a Tuesday by midday, to be a person of character that really loves, is not always that easy. But I believe there's help. I believe, again, there's help by the Holy Spirit, and having an honest, truthful relationship with the Spirit, love will be a fruit that we all can bear in a cold world, in a pretty tough world. And so the moment you see a place, a church, a company, a social group, a gathering, a friend circle that is devoid of real, godly, biblical love, as we see in the Word, you know that the Holy Spirit is not operating there. It's not active there. If you honestly see my life behind closed doors and see this guy is absolutely loveless, you can obviously know that I'm not walking out my so-called relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not being harsh, but just being honest. We need to be honest, raw and honest about our Christianity. And if I'm struggling to love, and if I only love those who love me, and I only love those who comfort me and are nice towards me and honor me, but I do not love others, then I can't say that I'm walking out this relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm convicted, I'm challenged, but I'm also seeking help through the Word. And I want you to join me in that. We know, as the Word said 2 weeks back, John 6:63, I love it, "For the flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit gives life, but the flesh doesn't help at all." The Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. And so the world will tell you and give you definitions of love that is as wide as the ocean. And I can just say, take heed and be careful. Let the Word of God define love. Let love Himself define love in your heart. Write it on your heart through His Spirit, so that you can know what love is and what love should look like. For love is not proud, not boastful, not lustful. It's not self-seeking. It's not envious. Love is pure, but love is also the one that will never fail. And so maybe we should sit still and say, Holy Spirit, help me to redefine love again. Redefine love in my heart so that I can have the authentic fruit. Because having Oros versus having freshly squeezed orange juice is, just with all due respect to Oros, just two different things. And the effect thereof will be two different things in your life. And I'm just trusting with you for the real deal. Lord, we want real love through the Spirit of life and walking in real authentic relationship. And so there's a quote that I read this week. "The fruit of the Spirit wasn't intended to be a list of goals for us to produce, so you don't have to squeeze them out. It's not a tick box exercise. We're not writing exams. It is the Holy Spirit through us who produces fruit," which is obvious. But we need to sit still and just think it through and just realize that I cannot produce love in and of myself. I cannot produce joy. I cannot produce patience. It is impossible for me as a mere human with the limits of my flesh to produce these fruit. But now let's look back to the Word. Let's look again to John 15 and see how not only the fruit of the Spirit, but specifically love, can be an effective, beautiful fruit, authentic fruit in your life by the grace of God, by the absolute grace of God. Let's jump into Scripture. John 15, I'm reading out of the NIV, "The vine and the branches." We touched on it on Wednesday, but I believe we need to cement it and make sure that we've got the full revelation. Because even in the public tongue we had on Wednesday and the way the Lord then came just the interpretation, I realized that it is not through our works and our striving that the Lord wants to bring breakthrough, but it's through our abiding, our resting, our trusting, our relational connection with Him that He wants to bring breakthrough, and obviously then the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But anyway, let's get into the Word. "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener." Jesus had Word. "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes." Other translations there for prune is to clean, "so that it will be even more fruitful." So it's good to have fruit, and we need to have fruit. Again, a relationship with Christ, the relationship with the Holy Spirit, needs to look like something. I can't have a bumper sticker. I can't just post it all over Facebook and say that I'm a Christian, but I'm not bearing the fruit of Christianity. Now, there's often times where I struggle. And so please don't hear me saying that I get this right all the time. I don't at all. But I need to be honest and say, Lord, help me. I need to bear this fruit, because it's not a cut and paste. It's not a lip service exercise. It's authentic and truthful. It is either there or it's not there. There's no other way. But fruit is important. So Christ is the vine, we're the branches, and the Father, He's the gardener. And He prunes, He cleans, and we'll stop at that just now. Verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." And that's important. So we see clean here, we heard prune is also clean. And so He prunes and He cleans us by the word that He speaks, the word that is written down, the Logos and the Rhema. So we need to get into the Word so that it it can help us. It can help the gardener prune us so that we can bear much fruit, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and here we need to take this home. Remain in me. Remain in me, Jesus is saying. The vine is saying this to us. Hey church, in a tough time, in a shaking time, in a dark age for mankind, maybe partly part of the end times, in this time, remain in me. Other translation says, abide in me, means the same thing. As I also remain in you. Beautiful, the Holy Spirit in us. Love it. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. No branch, listen up, branches, no branch can bear fruit in and of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Remaining there, walking in the Spirit, we're going to open up remaining and abiding just now. But you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in Him. I cannot bear fruit unless I if this today, what I'm sharing should bear fruit, I need to be plugged in. I wasn't in a plugged-in position. I didn't feel like it. I needed to spend time in worship this afternoon. I needed to wait on the Lord. I needed to get back into the Word. I needed to go over this, mull over this, trust Him, pray, seek Him out, abide in Him. And now I'm trusting that fruit will come forth from this time I spend together with you. Not my fruit, but His fruit. Because I'm just a branch. And a branch can't have any fruit unless it's from the vine. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a beautiful, straightforward verse. And as I jokingly have said before, in Greek that means nothing. That nothing means nothing. In other words, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. I want to take a yoke, a religious yoke off you. And I don't know if there's sin or entanglement in your life that you're struggling with. I don't know what the battles are that you're fighting. That you so desperately just want to get right. But I want to comfort you actually with this honest truth from the Word. Without the vine, without Christ, you can do nothing. You can have no good fruit except for by the grace of Christ and through Him, abiding in Him, connected to Him. This obviously echoes what we've seen in John 6:63. The flesh doesn't count at all. So we can do nothing in and of ourselves. And so please take that yoke off you to perform. You do not have to perform because, in fact, if you do perform, it'll lead to nothingness. But it is His fruit that we're after. So this is actually good news. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, that sounds good, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So maybe just quickly stop there. Firstly, are you saying that I'm a disciple of Jesus? Am I a disciple of Jesus? If so, there need to be fruit. And those fruit cannot come from you. It can only come from the vine. So it cannot come from you, and it cannot come without connection to Christ the vine. And if I should bear fruit, if by the grace of God I should bear fruit, it's actually for God's glory, it's not for mine. And so again, there's no pressure upon you to perform, because it's not for your glory. You're not going to boast in it. It is for God's glory, and it is by His Son. And we can just merely be the conduit. We can go into rest. We can go into surrender and trusting, and He will bring forth the fruit. And that is who a disciple is. Let's move on. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Remember, we're also talking about the fruit of the Spirit and love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Read the Word. Get into the Gospel. What does it say? By the grace of God, as the Spirit empowers you and help you to do as He commands, you will actually remain in His love. Love looks like something. Love is not this squishy, cute, foamy, little bubbly thingy. Love looks like something. Love is often sacrificed. Love is sometimes tough. Love is beautiful. Love is amazing. But love looks like keeping the commands of Jesus. That's love. And it's by His grace. Moving on. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, there's another fruit of the Spirit. We're not going to stand still. But are you lacking joy in this season? I've seen a lot of people that do lack joy. I believe remaining in the vine is the answer, so that His joy can be in you and your joy can be complete. Are you lacking joy? The Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to remain. Keep your focus. Abide. Remain in Him. For their real joy will come. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Not to take up and to take and to steal what is not yours, but to lay down, to say no, to lay down, to say no to yourself, see yes for someone else, and to love on them. And that is not even by your own abilities, but that of Christ through you and that of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, you are my friends if you have do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business, but instead I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father and I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, that it will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. This is my command. Love each other. So we're commanded to love. But in that, the Lord also knows, and as we see in Scripture, that He knows it's impossible for us by the flesh to truly love. And so He says, love, but remain in me, and then you'll be able to love, because I'm going to help you. It's like telling my kid, please go buy bread and milk and run in, but I get my wallet and I give them the cash to pay for it. So He expects something from us. Yes, absolutely. He expects love, the fruit of the Spirit, but He also gives us the Spirit and the ability, the inside-out ability of the Spirit to love. We just need to abide. We just need to abide. And that is so important. What I loved and what I saw here again, because often I find myself, man, I want to get it right, Lord. Please just fix this. Or I try to fix something. But I just saw here in Scripture, it says in verse 16 again, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit and your fruit will last. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Maybe that's for a couple of us listening. God chose you. God chose you, and He chose you to bear fruit. And God chose you to bear the fruit of love. Maybe you've been struggling to love. Maybe there's other stuff that manifests from your life that is not love. But I want to say God has chosen you. He's chosen you to bear fruit of His Spirit. And He's chosen you, and He will enable you to love, love, love. All He's asking of you is to abide, to remain. In other words, to look to Him. To trust, not to walk away, not to wander off. Jonathan Edwards says, if love is the sum of Christianity, surely those things which overthrow love are exceedingly unbecoming to a Christian. An envious Christian, a malicious Christian, a cold and hard-hearted Christian is the greatest absurdity and contradiction. In other words, it's impossible. Don't tell me you're a Christian if you hard-hearted, if you're malicious, if you're envious, and malicious in your doings. It is as if one should speak of dark brightness or false truth. In other words, I cannot say that I'm Christian if I'm not loving. I cannot say I've got a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit if I'm not walking in love. Am I saying that we need to get this perfect all the time? No, I'm not. That's why there's a gardener. The gardener prunes. He sees the things of the flesh, and the gardener comes and he prunes. He uses the things in life, the situation. He uses COVID-19 in the situation. I'm not saying he sent it. I'm saying he's using the season. He's using the pressure, the economic and financial pressure. He's using isolation maybe. He's using things that he's taken comfort away, and now he's pruning away, pruning away, pruning away for the Spirit's fruit. And especially today, the Spirit's fruit of love can be cultivated in our lives. And so, how do we bear fruit? Very simply, we need to be a part of Christ. We need to stay a part of the vine. We need to yield and surrender. Yield and surrender. I'm not my own anymore. I need to yield and surrender to have the fruit of love and the fruit of the Spirit in my life. The fruit of the Spirit and love is not the result of effort, but of connection. So the fruit of the Spirit And specifically today in this context of love, to have true biblical love is not a result of effort, pushing, striving, but of connection. And I want to say surrender. And so you can start saying, yes, Lord, I give up. I give up so that I can love. I bow my knees so that I can love. I yield so that I can love. I let go of trying to be good and right and get it right, because I want to honestly, truthfully love. And so we read in verse 4, abide in me as I abide in you. Remain in me as I remain in you. And I want to say to you guys, if you want to have the fruit of the Spirit and a real relationship with the Lord, remain in Christ. I want to say, keep the remain thing the main thing. Keep the remain thing the main thing in your life. If anything, don't strive, don't push, don't try to do this on your own, because we know we can't. I've tried it a lot, and I guess you too. But I believe the Lord just very simply wants to say to us in a childlike way, but also a very authentically, theologically accurate, truthful way. Keep the remain thing the main thing in your Christian life. Remaining in the vine, so that you can actually bear the fruit that is not of you, but of Him. And you know what? When we do this, when I know that today, whatever the Lord wants to bring forth through me is His grace, and it's got nothing to do with me, it's just because I remain and I'm willing, that's it. Then when somebody else has fruit or does not have fruit, I'm not critical. I'm not judgmental. I realize that it's merely somebody that's abiding and then fruitful, or somebody that's not abiding and then unfortunately being pruned and cut away or even thrown into the fire. And so pride and arrogance, self-righteousness and spiritual arrogance gets plucked out of my heart once I also just realize that true Christianity is just one of keeping the remain thing the main thing. Abide means to stay. It's in Greek meno. It means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. I think we understand it by now. It's to abide, to continue. It's not a hit and miss. It's not stop and start. It's not Sunday, Wednesday. It's 24/7. Becoming sensitive to His presence. Becoming sensitive to His lead. Becoming sensitive to what He's saying and what He's doing, and then getting into His Word and making it our own. Let it speak to us, let it clean us and prune us. And so it's to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present. How important is that for relationship? To be present, to remain, to stand, and to tarry. So who abides? Firstly, we want to know, how do we abide? We'll get to that now, but who abides? And how do we abide then? So who abides in the vine, and how do they abide? And I believe John 1:12 has a key for us, and I think you know it by now. But as many as received Him, He gave to them the authority to become children of God, to those who believe on His name. And so two keys there. How do I abide? Who's the people that can abide in the vine? What does this picture mean? Very simply this: the children of God are those that abide. How do I become a child of God? If I receive Him, and you have received Him, I hope, I trust, and then if you believe in Him. So what do we need to do to remain in the vine as the branches? What do we need to do? We need to receive Him, and we need to believe in Him. And then I believe we need to trust Him. So we need to grow in trust, trusting Him and not ourselves. A branch in and of itself can do nothing. A branch can't run around and do his own thing and have fruit. He needs to get stuck in and stay stuck. And then trust, receive, and receive that life. It's permanent. It is absolutely permanent. Verse 4, remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must remain in the vine. I don't get saved and then I do my own thing, but I need to remain in the vine. And honestly, if I'm remaining, if I'm abiding, we'll be seeing if I've got the fruit in my life. So there's no independence. There's no independence for a branch. Hey, branches, no independence, absolute surrender, absolute reliance, and you need to give your whole life again to the Lord, as we said last week, or the previous week. When abiding, what flows, as we see in the scripture, what flows to me when I abide in Christ? I see the love of Christ abiding. When I'm plugged in to the vine, I receive love through the Spirit. When I'm plugged in, remember, I receive joy, he said, so that my joy can be complete. So for a branch to be plucked into the vine means that joy can be completed. If you're struggling with joy, get plugged in. Remain again. And then lastly, what we see is his words. What life flows from the vine to the branches? His words. So his logos and his rhema, words. We feed on that. Life and death is in the tongue, and the Lord brings forth life through what he speaks. And so Christ speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in this relationship. And we eat that, and we live off the fruit of the Lord. Verse 8, before we finish off. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit. To be real disciples. And so if I want to be a real disciple, if I really want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to bear the fruit. And the bottom line is if I really have a relationship, it'll be seen in my life. And here the Lord is not harsh, he's not condemning today, but he's saying, hey, let's test again the fruit of our lives. Because what he calls for, as we see in John 15, is a total abiding. And then lastly, the proof. Again, Matthew 7:19 says, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so you'll recognize them by their fruit. And so, again, in Matthew 7, this is repeated, you'll know them by their fruit. And so, yeah, I can stand in front of the mirror of the Word and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I'm saying I've got a relationship with Christ through you. I'm taking your hand, but there's often occasions and areas in my life where I struggle to have your fruit. I know I can't do it in and of myself, so I'm not condemning, I'm not hard, or try to be hard on myself, but I say I need help, because I want to bring forth this abiding fruit of the Holy Spirit, and specifically of love. And so lastly, in John 15, we see three people here at work. We see the gardener, the father, at work, pruning and cleaning, busy with us in his vineyard. We see the vine, that is his son Jesus Christ, and then us, the branches. And we know that we are fed the life, the joy, the love, and the word of Christ through the Holy Spirit as we receive it as the branches. And then we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the 9 Holy Spirit fruits in our lives, and especially love. But the beautiful thing is here is that I don't have much to do. The Father comes and he fixes up. He lifts up, he cleans up, he prunes and purifies, I believe. He attends, he checks out, he keeps, hopefully, the foxes and the wolves at bay. And so he does his gardening work. We need to trust his hand. And then the vine comes and he feeds. He gets the nourishment from the Father, and he gets it, so to speak, out of the ground and gives us the food that we need to stay alive spiritually. And then we can just be. We just need to remain and abide. And from us, naturally, which is supernaturally, fruit will come. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. So do you want to walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Those 9 things, have you seen or do you note some of them that really lack in your life? Because I do in mine. It's very simply an answer of coming back to the Lord and say, Lord, where have I not been abiding? Where have I not been remaining in you, and what does it look like practically for me? I want to invite you to do that with the Lord. I want you to just quiet down yourself and say, okay, cool, I've got a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit, but some of this fruit is lacking. I note that Christ does all the giving and all the giving of life and substance and the goodness that I need in life for this fruit. God actually fixes me. I can't fix myself. I just literally have to be. So how does it look? What do I need to do? And where do I lay down where I've been trying to garden, fix myself, and where I've tried to produce fruit that I cannot do in and of myself? I want to pray for you. Father God, we thank you that in all simplicity, but also pretty profound, you've called us to a life of absolute surrender, absolute trust, absolute yielding, but then absolutely amazing fruit. Lord, we want to have the fruit of love. We know that 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. And I want that never failing love in my life, in my family, in the lives that I touch, and in this church community, Lord. I want that. But I also know, Lord, that in and of myself, as man, I cannot do that at all. Neither that fruit or any of the others. But I'm willing again to say, Lord, I want to come and abide. Show me what it looks like. I want to come and remain and healed again. Show me what it looks like. I laid down my self-righteous pride maybe or self-righteous ways. And I say, Lord, come and help me. Father, come and prune me so that I can bear that fruit. Lord, I pray for everybody listening that's saying yes in their heart for the fruit of love and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But also note that they might struggle in an area. Lord, if they say that they are yielding and they want to abide and remain again in you and they want to give over afresh, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will work mightily in their lives today. Lord, have your way and thank you, Father, that you've called us and appointed us. You've called us. You've chosen us, not the other way around, so that we can bear fruit. And so, Lord, I lift up this church community to be a church community of fruit and especially of love. Love for one another, laying down your life, but also love for many others, Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. But because we are connected. Because we've tried, but we failed in our own ways. But we know that you are the only source. And we're trusting in you and you alone. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, may God have his way. Psalm 138 says, for the Lord will fulfill his purposes for me. And I want to encourage you, for the Lord will fulfill his fruit through you as you abide, as you surrender, and as you trust him again. Let's learn together about the Holy Spirit, but also let's authentically have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so I challenge you, as I challenge myself, to go out and love. Not in your own ability, but say, how can I abide? How can I get attached every day? How can I yield to your voice and how can I effectively love brothers and sisters out there and those that need it in a broken world? Have an awesome week. We chat next week and I pray that God bless you. Bye.